Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Joan Serio, who's the author of Hardwired to Heaven, Download Your Divinity Through Your Heart and Create Your Deepest Desires. Joan has a graduate degree in science education, undergraduate degree in biology, and she has been working in the health and healing professions for more than 30 years. In addition to creating integrative message therapy, she also worked as a massage therapist, Reiki master teacher, integrated energy therapy practitioner, and intuitive sound healer. Joan is bringing together metaphysics with what is known in science, and focusing on how we create, how our intentions are important, and how do we actually connect this realm with a multidimensional reality in order to become who we really are. Thanks, Joan, for joining us.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Kolb, for having me on your show.
Well, would you like to tell the listening audience a little bit about how you got into the realm of merging the science with metaphysics, and how this book came to be written?
Sure, I'd love to. As everything, it was a process and a journey of my awakening. And it took me on a journey 2,500 miles across country to Sedona, Arizona. And that's when I opened myself to a lot of this work. I did my own healing. And in the process, I used it as my metaphysical university and listened to a lot of different lectures, read a lot of different books. You can access a lot of different things in Sedona that you may not be able to in a lot of other places. And started to see certain patterns and was really drawn to analyze and feel what it's like, what's happening right now at this time of the Great Shift, and what's happening in our bodies, because I really feel our bodies are changing, and how do we physically become enlightened? And I started taking notes, and I was just guided to take notes and read this and grab that book and go to this lecture. And one day, I just laid it out on the floor and started putting notes together and said, you know, this really needs to be put into a book. And didn't know I was going to write the book that I wrote. But, you know, as everything happens when you follow your heart, it happens magically and beautifully. And voila, there it is.
Well, I think the book is remarkable in that it is a synthesis of many, many different disciplines, ideas, philosophies. You may realize, because I've been doing Temple of Health Radio Show for 17 years, I've interviewed quite a few of the people you mention in your book. And even if I haven't interviewed them, I've talked to them on the phone, like Tom Bearden. Tom wasn't doing radio interviews, because whenever anybody interviewed Tom Bearden, the black helicopters would show up the next day. So he quit doing radio interviews. So, you know, a lot of the people in your book are doing work that is on the edge of what is not allowed, which is very interesting. And there's reasons for that, because as you say in your book, you wouldn't give a loaded gun to a three-year-old. You know, you have to be prepared before you can start to create. And you've done a great job of tying it all together. It's a very complex subject, though. It's I'm going to need to go back and reread this book a couple more times to really understand everything that's in it.
Yes, it keeps revealing more things to me as well. So
you're right. Well, you obviously had some divine help in writing it, not only in who you sought out, but how you put it together. Well, let's start out with what the premise is here. You talk about David Wilcox's theory that there's an energy coming in from the galactic center that is affecting us and that it's changing us. Start from there and talk a little bit about what's going on right now.
Yes, well, what's going on right now is we are in the Galactic Alignment Zone, and that started in 1980, I believe, and it goes to 2016. And that's caused through the precession of equinoxes, because the Earth will wobble a little bit on its axis, and this happens about every 26,000 years or so, and we're in this time. And so if you just imagine what happens when, you know, the moon acts on the Earth, and we get the full moon and the tides and all, how it has that pull. Imagine if we align our galactic center with our solar system, with the planets, with the Earth, and blah, 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 blah. Can you imagine the energy that's there and this pulling force? And also we have this direct hit almost of mm-hmm. these charged particles coming from the galactic center, coming from our sun. We know about the increase in solar cycle 24 and the activity that happened in 2012 with Superstorm Sandy. And just in June, we had two back-to-back X-class flares. So we're getting bombarded from all of this, and we're at the end of that galactic alignment zone. So that ends in 2016. So I have this feeling, and we can see it already, that things are getting amped up. And I think as we move through this, it may get a little bit more intense. But the good news is, as all this comes in, we're taking it in too. We can't go through this and come out unscathed. You know, mm-hmm. it's, everything is interconnected. It's all energy, and it's all being divinely guided, I believe. And that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, because I really do believe we are being changed, though. And referring back to David Wilcock, he talks, I looked up Mueller and Rhodes research, too, as well, that they say that we're going through a 62-million-year cycle of genus diversity. Mm-hmm. Not just species diversity. You know, it's easy to have permutations and species diversity, but when we go through changes in genus diversity, as you know, as a doctor, that's a different thing.
Well, and you know, and the human race is probably one of those things that's being affected. We're probably evolving into another genus of human, you know, beyond human sapien.
Yeah, and you know, Barbara Wilcock and Barbara Max Hubbard talked about, I think, Homo luminis, you know, mm-hmm. Homo spiritus, you know, that we're becoming this other form. And that's what happens when you actualize and live as the God that you are.
Yeah, and it is very different. I mean, the first humans of what we know in history didn't have much ability to create. They were just, I mean, they spent 24/7 on survival. And they were at the mercy of what was around them. And now we, your book describes the process, how it, when you center things, I'll let you explain it since you wrote the book, but when you center from your heart and when you utilize the energy in a certain manner through your thought, emotion, and intention, we literally become able to manifest very, very quickly.
Yeah. The heart is just one way of doing it, and I believe it's probably the fastest way because it is the greatest electromagnetic field in the body. And mm-hmm. as I say, I believe, and because through my research and what came through me, is that there's that special place in the heart that connects us
mm-hmm.
to God, Source, whatever you want to call it. So if you're going to
and
create,
each other, and each other,
yeah,
that's
and
where
each
the
other,
compassion
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Nothing.
Right.
Nothing is separate. Nothing.
Right.
So if you're going to create through something, wouldn't you choose to create through there? Mm-hmm. You know, if you could download, you know, right from Source, sure, of course you're going to choose the heart to create.
So what we're doing in this time period is going within rather than going without. I mean, we spent a lot of time going without. We explored the whole world. We went to the moon. We mm-hmm. developed all the sciences. But now what we're actually describing is the other way. It's the other. You don't find heaven out there. You find the other multidimensional realities within.
Yes, it's heaven within now. And what you've described is more of the masculine energy, which we have been in a male-dominated society.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time for the divine feminine to come in, which is more of the yin energy of going within.
Right.
And this is the time to go within and say, oh, everything I needed, you know. It's like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, you know, saying, you know, you've had it all along, Dorothy.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, right. And we're waking up to that, and we're finding out that we are our own wizards.
Right, that's right. We don't need external sources of authority, be it religion, science. I mean, a lot of my family members made science their god. You know, it's really mm-hmm. no different. It's really no different. I mean, mm-hmm. when you put your allegiance and your loyalty to something outside of you, then you're giving away your power by definition, whatever it is.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So would you like to describe a little bit of what we've found regarding the energy flow, you know, including through the pineal gland, the heart? You uh-huh. want to describe the relationships to these systems that seem to be very important in this manifestation process?
Exactly. Well, like I said, the book, every time I reread it, I get something more out of it, and I'm like, oh, okay. So, if you will, it's like God's fingerprints are all over us. You know, mm-hmm. if we are made in the image and likeness of God or Source, whatever, however you want to frame it, then there must be a mirroring within us. And even at the Temple of Delphi, you know yourself and you'll know God type of thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can study
yeah.
the human body and you will know what the universe is like, what God is like.
Mm-hmm.
And I liken all of this to the unified field, using the unified field theory.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go from that premise, and just to say that this unified field is shaped like a donut or a torus. So if you go from the pineal gland, let's start up at the brain, and we'll start mm-hmm. in the pineal gland, which is interesting because the pineal gland, as you know, is separate from, it's in between both hemispheres of the brain, and it's separate from the blood-brain barrier there. And it's second in blood flow to the kidneys, which is interesting. And that shape, what? Did you want to say something?
Yes.
And that shape's like a pine cone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you look at the shape of a pine cone, it's also shaped like a vortex, like it's coming down to a point, almost like the heart. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's conical shaped, and the heart has all these spiraling layers of epicardial tissue that they spiral around to maximize the effort when it contracts and, you know, for blood flow. But when it does it, it spirals everything out. So you've got something that's mirroring this vortex, which that's what the torus does. It comes in, the energy spirals in, comes to mm-hmm. a point and then spirals out. You know, if you watch the water going through the toilet, you know, it comes down to a point, spirals out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you've got that in the brain. You've got that mirrored in the heart. And what does the heart do? It pumps blood. And the red blood cell is shaped like a donut or a torus. Again, mm-hmm. it gets mirrored. And then if you look at the kidneys, which in Chinese medicine, that's known as the regulator of the qi. It's very important in
mm-hmm.
Chinese medicine.
Right.
And each kidney, if they mirror one another in the body, they're kind of looking at one another. You know, we know it's kidney shaped because that's where the name came from. If you put both of them together, what does it look like? What does it form?
A
donut or a torus,
yeah.
you know? So I'm like, this is interesting. There's this interrelationship, and the relationship, too, is a lot about blood.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this consciousness which flows through the blood. So when the pineal gland awakens,
mm-hmm.
and this can be done through various ways, meditation, toning, you know, vibration, near-death experiences, blah, 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 blah. But there's one way to do it if you stimulate the soft palate, where the heart and soft palate meet, with your tongue, which the tongue is the first tissue to form out of the heart. There's another relationship. And the pineal gland was formed from the tissue of the upper epithelial of your mouth there, epithelial tissue. So there's the relationships. So you're using your heart to stimulate the pineal gland in a way, an extension of your heart, and it creates this amrita, or this golden, mm-hmm. this white drop. And this is what's explained in Chinese tradition. Mm-hmm. And there's this in the kidneys, or in the second chakra, it's called the golden stove, because that's the chi. That's where you're building your energy there, they believe. Mm-hmm. That's where you build your energy. So as you raise your energy, or the kundalini, right? You raise mm-hmm. the kundalini. Right. That's going to create this energy that's going to be moving up, and this drop or this from the stimulated, the awakened pineal moves down, and they meet and they merge in the heart. And quite interesting. That's what they say. Well, there's got to be something here about this whole thing. And that's what they say creates the awakened mind, which is the still mind.
Let's just talk a minute about light coming into the pineal. You said in the book that the pineal gland was discovered to have photoreceptors in it. You want to talk a little bit about that? Because what I'm seeing right now is that the light actually enters into the pineal from the inner worlds, and that's what, I mean, sometimes when you close your eyes, you can see whole movies, and you can see whole, you know, and all of that, clairvoyance can run crime scenes and tell the police what happened. Well, that's all coming through the pineal. Those inner movies are coming through the pineal. The pineal then, in turn, is connected to the Akashic Records, so you can run any movie you want. You can run any time, you know, any past time, get any information out of the Akashic that way, through a movie, through your pineal.
Uh-huh. I call it the eye of the heart.
Right.
Because I believe that sacred cornea is, well, we'll probably talk about it a little later, but that special place in the heart, I believe that's what really connects us to our Akashic record. You know, because that's where our essence is on the field. But it's interesting because I found some research about this, and Dr. Klein from the Institute of Child Health and Human Development found that the cells in the pineal gland resemble photoreceptor cells in our retina. And then he found in some animals, like birds and frogs, that these photoreceptor cells in their pineal gland can sense light, and the retina of these animals can produce melatonin, which we know is produced by our pineal gland. So we got this flip-flop of functions. So, you know, for those that have an awakened pineal, it's kind of a no-brainer. But, you know, of course we can see within. It's our inner sight. Why do they call it the third eye? And that, so when light enters the pineal, when it's awakened, it's able to, I feel that it's able to take in this higher frequency light. And like you said, you can connect and you can see all this stuff because we've opened this channel. I believe there's a heart, high heart pineal gland channel that when it's open, that, you know, now you're in alignment. It's like the middle pillar of the Kabbalah, of the Tree of Life. And you open that pillar up. And now you have access to everything because the heart, the high heart, you're immune to outside forces. You know, it's where the thymus gland is, and that produces T lymphocytes, helps with the immune system. So you become immune to outside forces. You become sovereign unto yourself.
Right.
Higher vibration of the heart, higher dimension, higher consciousness, and then it goes up to the pineal. And now you can see from that sacred corner, from that higher dimension, from the higher place, from a higher perspective, and not from the lower chakras. Now you've gone up to the higher chakras.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting that fluorination, we know that fluoride can block the functioning of the pineal. And now, you know, we're in a time when most people are not drinking fluorinated water anymore, at least in the U.S. I'm not sure worldwide, but so we're actually moving away from the things. And, of course, it makes you wonder why fluorine was put in the water in the first place. You know, if maybe people in power didn't know that that would help to block that. It's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. there's a lot that's helping us right now. And DMT that Dr. Stoffman had researched a lot, I'm thinking that we're getting mass injections of it because it increases due to the decreasing magnetic field of the Earth that's happening right now. I mean, that's being reported. And increasing solar activity. So I think that we're getting mass injections of this too. So we're getting help on all levels. That's the good news about this time, is we see everything else falling down around us. Well, a lot of this stuff needs to, because it's just lower vibration. It can't stay the way it is. It can no longer resonate in this higher frequency.
Right. And you know, every institution is going to have to be rebuilt from within, so that it is more compassionate, it is more honest, has integrity, you know, rather than taking advantage of people and taking advantage of people that have no power. It's got to reflect, you know, protection of the whole. Government, you know, law, medicine, all the institutions are being rebuilt from within.
Yes, definitely our education system.
You know, education,
we've got the new children coming in. If we don't meet them, you know, they are our greatest hope.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the one big indicator to me that we are advancing, because why else would they be coming in already enlightened, you know, and, you know, all circuits are working, you know.
Yeah, I think they're coming in to help us solve some of the problems we created. You know, I think that that's. I think consciousness sends in the answer when we get in trouble, and I think we've gotten in trouble.
Definitely, but if we didn't instill that higher consciousness already, and they had to go through this whole evolution process, we'd never make it.
Right. Right.
So we need that. We need that. What's the term? Step forward. You need that help. And yes, they are here to help us. Definitely. Listen to the children, you know. It will come from a child, the answer. Yeah.
Well, there's probably a whole generation of children now that can discern truthfulness from lying without anything other than what they have within them. And won't that be useful when they start voting for politicians?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's
yeah.
Yeah, it should be entertaining too.
Yeah, it should be. That's true. So we're in this time, and you say this particular cycle, the galactic energy, is slated to continue through 2016. Is that correct?
The galactic alignment zone, yes, but I'm sure we'll be going through this for a while afterwards. But that, you know, imagine we're getting shot out of a slingshot, and going through this galactic alignment zone is like taking that rubber band and pulling it back. And when we get to 2016, we may be at that height of the tension, you know,
until
the energy breaks. I don't know, but. You know, that's one way of looking at it. And then we're still going, but maybe we're going at a greater speed, and the children are helping us. The light is helping us. You know, we are awakening.
Well, a lot of the metaphysical texts talk about realities being different before and after the ascension. And ascension to me is ascension, it's a planetary ascension, and as David Wilcox said, it's more than that. It seems to be affecting everything in our solar system as well. So it may even be beyond our solar system. But this energy slingshot that we're in will really change things. We meet in session once a week, and we're educated by the spiritual hierarchy and what is happening to some degree, and what we've been told is that it the energy coming in, if your chakras are in alignment, if your energy system and your intentions and your being is in alignment, then what is going to be created is greater health, greater youth, greater vitality, and greater clairsentience, audience, and knowing. You know, the whole system revs up together. But if your chakra system is not in alignment, if it is still in the old ways of, you know, power mongering and taking advantage of people who are not, you know, are not able to protect themselves, lying and stealing, then your physical form will start to degrade. And that is probably the mechanism by which this shift occurs, you know, from the energy coming in and actually affecting the physical, you know, manifestations of humans and probably all other life forms as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it'd be interesting. I was just thinking, you know, it would really be interesting to be a doctor at this time and to notice and to study the changes in the DNA or the changes in the blood or what, you know, and the new children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what do they have that we don't? Or, you know, is this a guide to where we're going? And a lot of us are going through, you know, we've talked about ascension symptoms and you wonder about it, but we are physically affected by these solar flares. We have to be. Our heart's electromagnetic field is connected to the Earth's electromagnetic field. And as the Earth's mm-hmm. electromagnetic field is the magnetic field is dwindling, so her defenses are low, we're getting bombarded with this, and it doesn't affect us.
Well, I believe that portals are opening up into fourth dimensional energies that might be, you know, a little more frightening. We had information come in session that some portals were going to open up and some really gruesome things were going to happen. And this was the week before that guy in Florida ate the face off that homeless person. And, of course, in the media, right, the week before. And the media was saying that the guy was on bath salts, which is a drug that can induce psychosis, but you know, later on they said there was no evidence of bath salts, and the guy was a pretty normal person, except maybe he smoked marijuana every once in a while. So, you know, I would say that these portals, the people I know, and I see people from all over the world here, they come to my clinic because we specialize in breast implant problems. The world is seeing these portals open up and weird things happen. You know, suicides, homicides, mm-hmm. things that are just crazy behavior on the highway. There's a great deal of evidence that there is a lot of craziness right now. And mm-hmm. that would explain, I mean, the ascension itself is going to create that. I mean, that is part of the ascension, is that things are merging, dimensions are merging. And, you know, we won't be stuck in it forever. Like you say, it's a process, and we'll get out of it eventually and hopefully get into a place that's a lot safer and not, where you don't have to have your guard up about these things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hadn't heard about that, but it's intense, right? It's intense for all of us. I don't care who you are.
Right.
It's intense right now. And for people that have no concept of what's happening, I can't imagine. And, you know, just being thrown in this energy, it's got to be hard. And at the same time, you know, it's just a huge challenge. It just really, there's no other words for it. I've been reading, have really experienced this ascension
in the way
that we're doing it now.
Right, but there's hope. I mean,
definitely,
you know,
definitely.
look at the 50s. I mean, all sorts of things existed in the 50s, but it was all hidden. It was buried deep. You know, it was not, you couldn't really get to it. In the 60s, things started coming out. There was a revolution. you know, there were almost everything was coming to the surface and erupting in revolution in order to change the way people were, you know, people thought about other sexes, races, you know, the power of the government, just all sorts of stuff occurred in the 60s. And then, you know, we had another round of, you know, kind of betrayal from people in power, false flags and all these things that just weren't right. You know, government like the FDA not really protecting the people but protecting corporations. I mean, more and more things coming to light. You know, basically, now we see the problems. We may not see all of them, but we see a lot of them. And when things happen, we wonder, well, what's really going on? You know, it doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. We don't trust what we hear on the mainstream media. So, you know, what, I mean, we've got to get, it's kind of like a sore or a boil under the surface. You know, in the 50s, it was way under the surface. It was just making society sick, but nobody knew it was there. And now it's coming to the surface, and I think it's going to erupt. I think people are going to get really angry. I think people, as more and more things are exposed, I think we're going to go back into more revolution, you know, where people kind of vote people out of power, at least in this country, hopefully, and in other countries, maybe take the power back, you know, take it back through revolution.
Well, we have, exactly.
I mean, the power of the internet and organizing that in some of the countries that may not have democratic processes. So, you know, so this is what I see. I see the patient has to get a little worse before he gets better.
It's better, you know. Exactly, and that's what I say in my first book.
A little sicker before they get, right. So
the pendulum has to swing way the other way before the energy comes back into balance. It's just how energy works. And, you know, and I think you're right. You know, like I said, we're almost at the end of that rubber band, you know, with a slingshot, and something's got to give.
Yeah.
And who knows how it's going to give. It's up to us. But, you know, it's all good because the energy does have to break. This does have to change.
Well, you know, the energy's in a polarity on Earth because we're still in the third dimension. It's always going to be polarity. So, you know, in terms of abuse of power, you know, there's a flow back into the other side, you know, and I think what I see is that the galactic energy coming in is helping that because it's weakening those who are abusing power and strengthening those who would counter that. And that's the outside force that we haven't seen before. And I think it will be enough to, you know, to change the balance of power on the Earth so that, you know, perhaps our governments can go back to governing rather than interfering with everybody and everything rather than doing what they're supposed to do. You know, that would be, I think it can happen because because I see the mechanism of it. I see how it works. And that's what's great about your book. You talk about the mechanism. How is this energy affecting each human? And then how is all of that connected into the human race?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. All connected. All one.
So would you like to give a little bit of your contact information for the listening audience? You have two websites, I know.
Yes, I do. I have one website just for the book, which is hardwiredtoheaven.com. And I have my personal website, which is joanserio.com. And there's a contact form on there, and you can reach me that way. And I do, if you go to my personal website, joanserio.com, and use on the homepage, you can sign up for my mailing list. I have a monthly cyber circle that I hold. And so wherever you are, you can be part of that circle, and we do different things, look a little bit deeper into things. Last month, it was all about Joy Resides in the Heart. We had a lot of fun. this month is The Heart Knows What No One Else Has Seen. So we're going to talk about that. It's free. Just sign up for the mailing list so you can get the information for it. And I'll be having upcoming webinars and seminars, and so stay tuned.
That's great. I wanted to tell you my story of going to Sedona because it changed my life as well. I attended Hertog's course there on the Keys of Enoch. So I went there to attend that, and then I was actually guided to leave. I heard leave and go to the airport vortex. And, of course, I didn't even know what the airport vortex was, so I stopped at a gas station and asked somebody, and they said, oh, it's over there. So I went to the airport vortex, and I went out on it, and I went into meditation, and I was downloaded with all the information I needed to build the center that I built. And I was told there it would be for the disasters, that the patients who had been, left behind by medicine, and even it was iatrogenic injury with these breast implants, even though medicine created it, but they denied it existed. And so I was given the whole download there. And so, and then I went on to do a 7-day water fast there and to get, basically the rest of the vision. So Sedona is a very, very interesting place. It is where you can have downloads that do change things. It's very interesting.
Where it is. That's where I woke up in the middle of the night and heard dipole moment. How many people wake up in the middle of the night with dipole moment? I mean, really? Okay, I'll write it down, you know?
Yeah, right.
And it's really a very important part of the book. Yeah.
Well, explain that. Explain the system in which that works.
Well, first of all, water is a dipole molecule. It's a polar molecule. And when it stretches itself, it creates a dipole. It's a liquid crystal. So you have things lining up, structured wise. So one side's positive, one side's negative. And water, as I talk about in the book, is so vital, so important, because it's bringing information. It's the medium through which the language of light is written. So as light comes in, it needs to be decoded into a way that it can get through into all of our cells and all, and it's through water that it does that. And the dipole also, the heart is it polarizes and depolarizes. That's how it works. So if you set up an oscillation between the heart and the brain, and one of my keys is how to manifest, if you chant Ram, you're actually setting up the dipole oscillation. And whenever you're oscillating between the two, you have a movement of charged particles, and Dr. Hal Puthoff says that's how the field charges itself. That's how the zero-point field charges itself. So you're actually building this charge. You're building the potential to have to be what is it that you choose.
Yeah. And you really do have some very interesting templates for starting this up in your book. I love the ones you start with, on the poster for the Keys of Enoch, the Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh mantra.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, because as he says, it aligns your biorhythm and your mind with the mind of God. And, And I was told by a mason that this was very, very powerful. And then when I went into a basilica, it was emblazoned behind in the stone behind the main altar. And I'm like, this is powerful stuff here. And so I use the Hebrew of it. I feel that has the most power, because that language is very powerful, and to get really to the pureness of it. So the Kadosh, Kadosh, Adonai, Tzavaot. To use that vibration of it. Very powerful.
I had something interesting happen. My roommate was a fighter pilot, and he was very spiritually inclined, but he had the property of psychokinesis, which he wasn't quite in control of yet. So one day he was talking on the phone to our spiritual teacher, and he became angry at her. And the minute he became angry at her, the poster that I got from her talk that is his, you know, that symbol of the tree of life and the kadosh, 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 Adonai Semen at the top of it comes flying off the wall. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out.
I don't know.
Well, you know, he was also a TWA pilot at the time. He was a commercial pilot. So I'm sitting there going, Mick, you may want to get this under control.
Yeah, home.
But it was interesting. You know? Yeah, he did. He did get it under control, by the way. He did. He finished his spiritual thing with, which I was helping him with, and my teacher was helping him with, and he did. And you know what he said later on? He would be guided to places in France, and just because he flew to Europe and back, intercontinental TWA flights. So he would be guided to sit and meditate, and then later find out he was two blocks from the peace talks. You see.
Wow.
So he was utilized as well,
mm-hmm.
Which a lot of people don't understand. They don't understand that once they enter this realm that we're in, we're kind of, you know, we kind of volunteer for things, and then later on we find out what we did. It's kind of, okay.
You never really know why you're doing something until, like, maybe, you know, years later, and even then, how do you know how many other reasons you did it for and what lives you've affected them. Yeah.
That's right. It's very true. Well, I guess, is there any other part of the book that you want to talk about at this point? We've only touched on some of the things. We haven't really gone into depth on very many things.
Let's go into the heart of the matter.
Okay, let's do that.
Special place. Yeah, that special place in the heart that I mentioned the word sacred coronet before. And that's the place that the Hindus and the Sufis call that secret chamber, that special place where you commune with the divine. Or the Upanishads say that it's a place where the sun and the moon connect, heaven and earth. So this is your connection. This is your hardwired connection to heaven. We have all we need to connect us to the divine, but it's up to us to make that connection, to one, be aware of it, and two, to power it, and that's through the pineal gland, as we talked about, that pineal high heart connection. That provides the power to power that USB cable. And then to make those choices, and then to be that creator, and to create from that. So this special place in the heart, if you do the bisection, cross-section of the heart, there's four chambers in the human heart, so there's some tissue that's separating them to divide those chambers. So it's not going to look perfectly like a cross, but there is a cross because there's the vertical line and the horizontal line.
Mm-hmm.
And if you imagine that the unified field is a spiraling grid, then there's, you know, an XY axis. There's these crosses, how the lines will cross on the grid. And what I got downloaded was that this cross within the heart, that is that where those two points meet, the two points, you know, or two lines define a point, rather. That point is mirrored out into the unified field, and you have your sacred coronet out there, and that's where your essence is birthed. So that's where you're downloading the Akashic records from and all. When you go from lifetime to lifetime, you're carrying that essence. You don't carry the same physical part, but you're carrying that etheric part with you. And that's your ticket to the universe. That's your gate pass to the divine. You know, so you can, like you say, once you open up this channel, you can see the movies, you can hear this, you can be told that, da-da-da-da-da, and you're bringing through information. Everything's connected. You know, there's nothing new on the universe. I may have put things together in this book that weren't put together quite in that way before, but it's all stuff that's been there. You know, a lot of it's ancient information. Some of it's new stuff. Scientific research that were just confirming what the mystics have known for centuries.
Right.
So when we open up the sacred coordinate, we can do anything. That's our interdimensional portal. That's the power of this place. And if you were going to download information in the body, you know, if you're bringing in light, because the light will go through this sacral coronet within the heart, you're going to bring it in through the heart's electromagnetic field, not the brain. Because, if you know, just think, if you were a radio antenna, you know, you're going to pick up signals from the heart versus the brain, because the heart's just 5,000 times more powerful magnet, a magnetic field, and 50 times an electric field. So it's going to pick up signals from the heart first, and it goes through this area. I really believe that the heart is the clearinghouse for information. Then it goes up to the brain. The brain says, okay, let me go through the catalog, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, and it pulls up this information. Here it is, heart. Now you make the decision. But unfortunately, that going back has gotten cut off, and we've just been stuck up in our head. And we haven't been coming from our heart. And so you don't get the intuitive information. You don't get the divine download. We're not working from a place of oneness. We're working from a place of ego then.
Well, you know, people who've not opened their heart with compassion and have closed their heart off with, you know, basically every thought that's not in alignment with, you know, the good of the whole, and every action that goes against others will start to shut down your energy system, including your heart chakra. And with your heart chakra shut down, you don't have access to the system you just described. You're in your brain. That's all you've got. So you've got logic. And, you know, and then the mind often goes toward fear because, as you know, the mind remembers things. And a lot of times the fear thing will come up, you know, oh, this person looks like this other person, so maybe they're going to screw me over too. Do you see? Where logically, I mean, that's the fear is in the mind, and but the love is in the heart. So if then your life is ruled by fear and you try to manipulate others through fear, then you pretty much got the world we're coming out of. So the world we're going into is much different. I mean, you know, the Course in Miracles says fear and love, that's it. You know, everything else comes
all
out of this too. That's all there is. So I think that, you know, the spiritual practices, meditation, and really the point of this is living your life with the golden rule in mind is what allows you to access the heart's energy and the heart's field. If you are not living it, then you will not be able to access it. The kingdom of heaven will be shut off from you. You know, it really will.
There's an overlap period here, too, I think. Because nothing's black and white, you know, and I think there's, like you were saying, we have these bleed-throughs of conscious levels of consciousness dimensions. And so we're getting these bleed throughs, and so maybe it's not quite open, but then all of a sudden, you know, the heart's maybe not quite open, all of a sudden it gets open, and then they're like, wow, what happened? You know? So there may be that. There may be those jumps. I think all of that is possible at this time just because the energy is so chaotic.
I don't know that it will go in,
you know, nice linear. Mostly, yes, but there may be those jumps where did that come from, you know?
Well, a lot of the people I've interviewed on the Ascension say that that it's an individual thing, and it is a jump. It's a jump in consciousness individually. We've been told that the Ascension will be like popping corn. A few will go off here and there, and then a lot more, and then a whole bunch, and then a few will straggle later on. So, but in when each ascension happens in the individual, it is a jump. I mean, it is like a quantum leap. So, that I think that it has components of both. But you know, looking around, you'll see some people's lives will shift tremendously. And then other people will, you know, not be here anymore, you know, for whatever reason. You know, they're going back to spirit, but they're doing it, you know, through the traditional way of dropping the body. So, you know, so I think we will see some different things coming up. And what we've been told is that 2016 is really the when this ascension process starts to occur, although, you know, it is occurring in individuals now,
yeah.
No question.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe the majority of the popcorn is going to be popping around 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be interesting because, you know, you'll notice it. You'll notice it
in the
people around you and the institutions, and hopefully we'll start to be able to rebuild things based on spiritual law rather than, you know, flawed human law. Because it's just a mess right now.
Yeah, but from chaos comes creation.
It does. Yeah, it
does. And then you have the disruption, and you have that whole cycle. But we're in the chaos. So now the creation comes.
Right. Well, pay attention. There's more for you to bring in. You've written part of the story, but there's more of the story to be written. There really is.
Oh, yeah. This is just the tip of the iceberg. I think there's going to be a lot more about love.
It's like
I'm going to be writing a book about love in a way that we've never really looked at it before.
Yeah, I went to a screening the other day, When the Game Stands Tall, and it's about a football team in California that had 151 consecutive wins. And it was based on a true story about a coach that incorporated spiritual principles into his team and taught the power of love. And it was interesting because at the beginning of the movie, all the other things come up about consecutive wins and different, you know, professional and other sports things. And no one even comes close to 151. So the point is when you start to teach those principles and use those principles, you'll see things that you've never seen before.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So it's kind of interesting. So anyway, would you like to give your contact information one more time?
Or you can reach me through two ways. One, through the website for my book, hardwiredtoheaven.com, or through my personal website, joanserio.com, which is JoanCerio.com.
Well, Joan, thank you so much for joining us. I really enjoyed your book. I think it's very, very useful for anybody who knows they're in this process going into the ascension, or just feels that life is chaotic and they need to get a compass. Especially the meditations, they're very good for all of us to use in our lives. I really appreciate those. And I look forward to interviewing you on your next work.
Oh, great. I look forward to it too, Dr.
Cole. All righty. Thanks a lot. We've been interviewing Joan Serio on Hardwired to Heaven. Download your divinity through your heart and create your deepest desires. Next week, we're going to be interviewing DLCCO, Your True Voice, Tools to Embrace a Fully Expressed Life. And then Dr. Lee Cowden, Creating a Toxin-Free Body and Home Starting Today. And then another book, which should be very interesting, on the 30th, George Lobonio, Alien Mind, The Thought and Behavior of Extraterrestrials. George is an investigative reporter who spent 10,000 hours interviewing aliens that are working with our government, and puts forth this book, The Thought and Behavior of Extraterrestrials. We have the Noetic Science is meeting here Thursday, August 21st at the Dunwoody office at 7:30. Catherine Silverton will be discussing astrology and its role in consciousness. And then the Millennium Healthcare event is Tuesday, August 26th at 7:30. Dr. Mike Greenberg will be discussing how to eliminate stress and showing a video presentation followed by a group discussion. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining us.